Good evening, everyone. Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our stewards will bring one over to you. We're on page 968 of the Church Bible. Now, we're going to read from verse 1 to 16, but we're focusing tonight on verses 11 and 12. Let's read Matthew 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I know we don't do interaction very often, but I'm going to give it a try tonight. Okay, I wonder if you can tell me what these people have in common. Okay, Sebastian Coe, 2006. Helen Mirren, 2003. Judi Dench, 1988. Chris Hoy, 2009. Bradley Wiggins, 2013. Ben Ainslie, 2013. Michael Caine, 2000. Anyone got it? These people have all been knighted, and that was the year these people have all been knighted. All these people have worked hard in their area of expertise. They've served for a long period of time, and they got the call to go to Buckingham Palace, and they got down on their knee before the Queen, and she did the thing with the sword on their head, and you know, said, "You now have this title. People can now call you Sir, or Lady, or Dame, or Lord," and she gave them a medal. All these people were given great honor. All these people are held in high public esteem. They're thought of as honorable people. They get good treatment. They tend to avoid insults. They are given the best of seats when they go somewhere. They are welcomed in. They are highly honored. They are given great honor. And twice a year, every year, a small select group of people are honored in this way, as well as a wider group of people who are given honors, such as MBEs, OBEs, who go to the palace. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, says that there will be certain honors given to us in this life as we follow him. See if you can spot them. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The honors for following Jesus are not MBEs, not knighthoods, not a one-way ticket to the palace to see the Queen. They are insults, persecution, and people saying all kinds of evil things against us. Now, tonight, this isn't just another beatitude, and it's not an extension of the previous verse, which had been about persecution. What Jesus seems to be telling his disciples is what will be true of their lives every day as they follow him, as they live with a low view of themselves and a high view of Jesus, as they mourn their sin, as they live in all meekness, as they pursue righteousness, as they try to be peacemakers, as they follow the Lord Jesus and are persecuted for it. This is what can be expected. As Jesus says to his disciples in chapter 4:19, come and follow me. And as he says to them, and I want you to call others to come and follow me. Here are the honors in this life that you can expect. You will be treated dishonorably, miserably, and so will we. As we make a stand at school and science lessons for saying that Jesus created the world, as we flee from the night out that is just turning into disgrace, as we are pure sexually, people will insult us, persecute us, say all kinds of evil against us because we follow Jesus. They will mock and laugh. Jesus is telling us tonight, therefore, that the Christian life is not an honored in the eyes of the world life. It is a dishonored for Jesus' life. As we live for him, as he is our all, and increasingly becomes our all, dishonor for Jesus will be our bread and butter. It will be our everyday. And before you say, I don't like the sound of that, is that really what I've signed up for? He says, rejoice and be glad. Don't despair. Because the promise for all of those who have come and followed Jesus is the wonderful, glorious reward of heaven. Something much better than a visit to Buckingham Palace and a medal pinned on your chest. So tonight, as we look at this dishonored for Jesus' life, we are going to see three things that Jesus wants us to be certain of. Here's the first one. The dishonored for Jesus' life is the privileged, not the pitiable life. You see, the common understanding in the time of the New Testament when Jesus taught was that any kind of suffering, including insults, persecution, people saying all kinds of evil against you, was that the person who was receiving those things was under God's disapproval. The thinking being that if God is allowing this to happen to you, then you must have done something to offend him. And unfortunately, churches across the land, and even near here, are still teaching that if following Jesus is hard, or if in following Jesus you don't have any money, or if in following Jesus you're unwell, then you're doing something wrong. That you don't have enough faith. Seems to suggest that kind of thinking, that following Jesus will be easy. It seems to suggest that kind of thinking, that following Jesus is a route to success in this world. But in one verse, Jesus takes out a gospel-shaped bazooka and blows that to smithereens. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus is telling us that the best life, the blessed life, the position of living under God's smile and God's favor is this dishonored for Jesus' life. It's not because we don't have enough faith. In fact, if I am truly faithful, these are the things I can expect will happen to me. Now, please don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. There are many reasons this week why I could be dishonored. Okay, if I were to park my car in my neighbor's drive, I could be dishonored for that. I could be insulted because of that. If I play loud music all night, I could be insulted because of that. I could be insulted. I could be, all kinds of evil could be said against me. If I arrogantly think and want to tell people all the time that my way is best. Jesus is not saying that these things, anyone who's ever been dishonored in their life, it's not a blanket. If you're dishonored, then you're in this best privileged position. Very specifically, Jesus is saying that the best life, this dishonored for Jesus' life, is when we suffer for him, for his sake, for his glory. It is dishonor for living out these beatitudes that we've been studying week upon week. It is being insulted because Jesus and his ways are more valuable to me, and I think of them more highly than I do my school friends or my work colleagues and even my family members. It means that I will face insults because I will just not blindly go along with any sinful behavior that they want me to. It means I will be persecuted because I want Jesus to be glorified more than I want to be comfortable and respected by my neighbors. So as I go and chat to them about Jesus, I can expect them to insult me and persecute me. It means that people will say all kinds of evil about me because I want Jesus to be honored. Other people claiming to be Christians may malign us because what we believe that Jesus says about money or power or sex or relationships or marriage, when we say that what the Bible says is true, even other people who claim to be Christians may say all kinds of evil things about us. We often spend our time wanting to be honored and thought highly of. We spend our time trying to make sure that people don't insult us and don't persecute us and don't say too many nasty things about us. But Jesus says that as we come and follow him, this is exactly what we can expect, to be dishonored for his sake. And Jesus wants us to know tonight that as we are dishonored for him, that we're not to think, you know what, the wheels have fallen off, Lord Jesus. As I am persecuted, as I am insulted, I'm not to go into great despair. I'm not to go into this kind of thinking that says, oh no, is this Christian walk true? Am I doing the right thing? Jesus wants us to be 100% certain that this is what it is to follow him. When the difficult times come for following him, we're not to fall into pity. And we're not to pity others. Yes, we will sympathize and bear their burdens. But we're not to be surprised. It's proof that you're living in the best place, the blessed life. It's proof that you are a forgiven disciple following the Lord Jesus faithfully. If these things are going on. So the dishonored for Jesus' life is a privileged, not a pitiable life. It's the place that we are supposed to be in. But it also tells me that it is the expected life, not the unexpected life. I wonder if you've ever been thrown a surprise birthday party. I have once. I was 16. I should say, I don't really like parties that much, and especially not parties thrown for me. A meal with family is fine, but not much more than that. But when I was 16, one of my best mates decided that there was going to be a big surprise party. You know, the kind of thing you see on the telly that never works? Well, it doesn't work in real life either. Okay? He got all the youth group together, and they were going to do that, turn the lights off. His mum would let me in. They'd all jump out and shout, surprise. Now, I thought I was going round to see my mate, have some pizza, watch a DVD. Didn't know anything about it. And as I was leaving the house, my grandfather said to me, enjoy your party, son. I hear there's a big crowd of people coming. I turn to him and say, was that my surprise party, Grandpa? Enjoy your night, son, as I walk out the door. Now, I really tried when I walked in, and everyone jumped out and shouted surprise, but I'm not going to be very good at poker if I ever take it up. I don't have a good poker face. And they all knew that I knew, because my grandfather had taken away any hint of surprise. When you expect something to happen, it's not a surprise anymore. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The Lord Jesus has taken away the surprise. When these things come, there's no jumping out of the dark. Surprise! The Lord Jesus has given the game away, like my grandfather. This is what we can expect. And why should we expect this? Because we live in a world that has rebelled against God. We've seen each week, as we've looked at it, all these Beatitudes, how the world stands opposed in its thinking to them. Our world loves to have a high view of itself. Our world rejoices, not mourns, over sin. Our world is not pure. Our world loves to dishonor God by doing exactly the opposite of what he says. Now, you may think not getting involved in office politics or dirty jokes might be a good thing, and it is. But the moment someone says, why are you not doing those things? And you say, because I follow the Lord Jesus. You know what's going to happen? They're going to hate you for it. And they hate you for it and dishonor you for it, because that is exactly what they did to the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus was and is the prime example of what it means to live a life that honors God. He always lived in the best, blessed position. He always obeyed. He was always faithful. He always told the truth. He never got involved in wicked schemes. And he called people to turn from their sin, to ask for forgiveness, to turn back to God, to stop rebelling against him. Now, was Jesus loved for doing those things? Did people honor him? Well, a few did, but most people hated him. He was insulted and persecuted from the moment he was born. At his trial, his enemies said all kinds of evil things about him. As he is dying naked and ashamed, the ultimate dishonor, what are people doing? Standing, insulting him. And the Bible says that he allowed himself to be dishonored in every way, so that as I trust in him, I can be forgiven for rebelling against God myself. I can be forgiven for being one of those who have dishonored Jesus. And as I follow him, I can't expect to be treated any differently from him. As the world hated him, so it will hate us. And in fact, we are following a well-worn path as we follow Jesus, and we are dishonored for his sake. A path that was trodden not just by Jesus himself, but all those who have faithfully followed him. In fact, all of those who have been faithful to God. If you think about the Old Testament, if you think of someone called Abel in Genesis 4, a man who was faithful, what happened to him? He was murdered by his brother, dishonored. What happened to David? Before he was made king, Saul persecuted him, hunted him down. And then he was hunted down by his own family when he was made king. What happened to Elijah? Ahab and Jezebel constantly dishonored him. Daniel, his enemies conspired against him to get a law made just to attack him, so that he would be executed in a den of lions. You see, Jesus says, this is the same way we can expect to be treated. because they persecuted the prophets who were before you in exactly the same way. The dishonor for Jesus' life is to be expected. Now, the question I've been asking myself all week is this: am I someone who expects to be dishonored for following Jesus? As the Holy Spirit works in me every day to make me more and more like Jesus, do I expect to be insulted and persecuted and have people say all kinds of evil things about me? Teenagers, some of you have got a lot of time in your hands at the moment. And I know that all your friends are throwing parties and there's lots of alcohol and other things going around. Are you willing to say, I'm not going to go there or I'm not going to do that? You know what will happen? You'll be insulted. Because as you say, I'm making a stand for and I'm going to follow Jesus, they'll hate you for it. Those who are at work, are you ready for the hatred for not joining in with the gossip in the office or the slander? Those same people who are trying to get you to join in will almost certainly turn on you. Am I ready to feel like an outsider because I dare to speak to my local Muslim shopkeeper or dentist or barber about the Lord Jesus? Are we ready to be insulted and persecuted because we believe that any sexual behavior should only be between one man and one woman in heterosexual marriage, no matter what anyone says? Because that's what we're told the Bible says. If you're a Christian, expect these things. But please be assured that Jesus is with you through them. If I'm not suffering dishonor for Jesus, maybe alarm bells should be ringing in my head. Is it because I'm just blending in? Is it just because I'm doing what everyone else is doing? At table talk the other night, we looked at a verse that's really struck a chord with me this week. It was Acts 14:22. We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Hardships that our Lord Jesus knows himself and walked before us. The dishonor for Jesus' life is the expected, not unexpected life. What is to be our response, Jesus says? Well, the dishonor for Jesus' life is a rejoicing, not despairing life. Look again at how Jesus commands us to respond to these things. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be glad when we're insulted and persecuted and all kinds of evil are said against us. That would never be our natural reaction. We would naturally despair and be upset. And if someone insults us, we would demand our rights and demand an apology. Some of us may want to ask the person to step outside so we can settle it the old-fashioned way. But Jesus is telling us that as we follow him and the Spirit transforms us to make us more like him, we will treasure those times when we are insulted for Jesus. We will rejoice because we were found worthy to be persecuted for him. It is the Spirit in those times of suffering who brings to mind that what is waiting for me in the end as I follow Jesus will be worth it. It will be worth it in the end to suffer those things. One day we'll stand before a king, not to receive a medal that he's going to pin in my chest. We'll stand before a king and he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in and enjoy my happiness. Rejoice and be glad because all the glory of heaven awaits us. Everything is worth losing for Jesus, even our lives, because heaven, God's future promise to us, guaranteed by the resurrection, is better by far. This will be the honor of all those who are dishonored for him now. And if you're struggling here tonight as a Christian, if you are suffering under the weight of these things, there's a couple of Bible passages I just want to draw your attention to. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells two parables. He compares the kingdom of heaven to two things: treasure buried in a field and a pearl of great price. And he says that the men who found those things gave up everything so that they could have the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling us that what awaits us is brilliant. It is worth it. He wouldn't have told those parables if it was rubbish. It's good. Rejoice and be glad. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says that our present sufferings can't even be compared to what will come. He says, in my mind this week, I thought, you know, it's like trying to compare a speed bump to Mount Everest. Okay? Both things are raised off the ground, but you can't compare them. Our present sufferings are that a little mound in the road, and the glory that awaits is Mount Everest style. It's worth it. Think of Moses in Hebrews 11. Perhaps we'll read it later. He had all the treasure and pleasure of Egypt at his disposal, yet he regarded the disgrace for the sake of the Lord Jesus of greater value. Why? Because he knew what was to come was far better. The Lord Jesus himself endured the cross, scorned its shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Why? For the joy set before him. He knew how great heaven and the glory that awaited was going to be. As I live the dishonor for Jesus' life, I can rejoice in all trials and all sufferings for him, because through the cross and resurrection, I am guaranteed this glorious future. And I don't deserve one bit of it. It's given to me as a gift of his free grace. Isn't that amazing? Dishonor is not a cause for despair. One writer says this: our suffering right now for Jesus is like an ugly porch that leads to the door of a glorious mansion. Our suffering right now, just like an ugly porch that leads to the door of a glorious mansion. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't consider yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus, there is a warning in these words. You see, there's no promise of rejoicing or ultimate gladness for those who have not turned from their sins and come and followed the Lord Jesus. You don't have this hope. You don't have that thought that as I suffer right now, one day there will be glory. There will be no reward in heaven for you. In fact, the Bible says there will only be punishment and judgment for you unless you turn from your sins and come and follow the Lord Jesus. Unless you stop rebelling and call out to him and say, Lord Jesus, will you be my Savior and my Lord? Hell, the Bible says, is not a place of gladness and rejoicing. But heaven is. Heaven is. And so I ask, if you're not a Christian tonight, will you turn to the dishonored Lord Jesus and come and follow him? Will you repent of your sins and come and follow this dishonored for Jesus life? Will you accept his death and resurrection promise of a glorious future that awaits? Just one final observation before I close. See, how we respond to being dishonored for Jesus' sake can be a method that God himself uses to draw people to himself. So Matthew, later on in his gospel, talks about a centurion who watched Jesus die. And as Jesus dies and the sky goes dark and Jesus cries out with a loud voice, he says, surely this was the Son of God. In the book of Acts, as Stephen is killed for for being a Christian, for proclaiming the Lord Jesus. Shortly after, Saul is converted. After Stephen's death, it says an even greater persecution broke out against Christians. And yet the word of the Lord and the amount of Christians continued to grow and grow and grow. And in our day, it seems that gospel growth is strongest in the place where Christians suffer most. For Christians to rejoice when dishonored for Jesus, you know, it points to something beyond the here and now. It shows that our treasure really is in heaven. I found a story this week that's challenged me. 450 years ago in England, a man called John Bradford was burned at the stake because he was a Christian. He said to one of his friends, who was also dying that day, "Be of good comfort, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord Jesus tonight." Can we truly say tonight that the dishonor for Jesus' life is the best life? Will we who have responded to his call, will we rejoice and be glad and point beyond the here and now to the glorious future that awaits? Kingdom, where Jesus reigns forever and ever, that will that will never pass away. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words of Jesus tonight. We thank you that there is no surprise that as we follow him, we can expect to be insulted, persecuted, and have people say all kinds of evil against us. May we count it an honor, a privilege, to suffer for Jesus' sake. Would we rejoice and be glad? Not because we love pain, because we know that it is proof that we are following him and that one day we will be with him forever. Help us this week to stand for him. Help us this week to be different. We ask for your strength as we do that. And we ask that as we rejoice and be glad, we point people to the hope that we have, that they might share in it themselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.